All right, we're going to go ahead and start our board meeting today. Today is November 11th, 2014. We are in the board room. Today is a regular and a work session, and it is 5 o'clock. We are excited to be here today. Those present are board members Ann Gary, Christy Cooley, James Blair, Lynn Hobbs, Tawny Morgan, as well as our superintendent, Marsha Garrett, our business administrator, Jeff Barbin, as well as our district administrators, as well as school administrators, staff, press, and community. So welcome to everybody. We're grateful that you're here. Just for FYI, the board visited today by Woodruff Elementary at 12 o'clock. We were there from 12 to 2. Those present were board members Ann Gary, Christy Cooley, Lynn Hobbs, as well as our business administrator, Jeff Garvin, and our superintendent, Marshall Garrett. We were welcomed there and had a great visit with the new principal, Spetta Holmgren, who showed us some fascinating things that are happening at Woodruff, and that's a fantastic school. It was great to be able to be there. Fascinating to watch that LTM meeting in progress and to, of course, see the fascinating things that are going on with students. Now we're in our regular meeting, and the first item on our agenda is the consent calendar, which is action on the third reading of the cash disbursement policy and Edith Bullard Laboratory School and Fast Forward Charter High School, Utah Consolidated Action Plan. Any questions about that, board members? Seeing no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move we accept the policy on finances and the IT form and Fast Forward.
Okay, that motion's been made by Jim. Do I have a second?
I second that, but I are you also including the policy and
she
everything?
Did.
Okay,
okay.
I just heard the two schools.
So. No.
Oh, okay.
Yes, okay.
I would second that.
Okay, so we have a motion made by Jim, seconded by Ann, to approve the third reading of the cash disbursement policy and the Edith Bowen and Fast Forward Charter High School Utah Consolidated Action Plan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, consent calendar passes. All right, we're going to go into our work session, which is discussion on our superintendent search process. And I just wanted to update board members and make sure that we're all on the same page for tomorrow. We'll be meeting tomorrow at 12:30 at the Copper Mill. We will start with our administrators. We have everyone coming except one of our administrators who will be in out of town. So all of our other administrators will be there. We have divided the tables up into groups of three. So three tables of five-ish per table. And we've four administrators, and then we've paired board members up two board members per table to be the scribe. Then at 4 o'clock, that'll end at 3 o'clock. Then at 4 o'clock, our staff comes in. We have five tables of staff. So each of you will have your own table, and then I will have our new board member just come with me so that she can participate with me in that process. That should end about 6:15, so we should be done about then time frame. On Thursday is our community table, our community meeting. We will meet at the Carpenter Mill at 5:30. It starts at 6, and we'll be there until probably 8:15 on Thursday.
We need to be there at 6.
We'll come at 6.
Thursday is 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on Thursday at the Copper Mill. Again, the five board members will be taking a table, as well as Jeff will have a group, and
Ellen.
What as group well as Lisa Hopkins, she'll have a group as well.
What group are we meeting with at 4 o'clock tomorrow?
Staff,
okay.
Yep, staff's at 4. Admins at 1. Admins at
12:30.
Admin's at 1.
So we're there
at
12:30.
Yeah.
You have to be there at 12:30.
But we'll just stay all day until we're done at just after 6. But the actual session starts at 1 and 4.
Okay.
And then Thursday,
we
you'll
have
need to
stay awake during the whole meeting.
The whole meeting, yes.
I just want to make sure I'm getting this correct.
So we, Suzanne and I spent the afternoon, we have everybody assigned to their tables that night, so they'll come in, receive a name badge, and then they'll go find their table that they're assigned to on the table, TV of table names. So, and we feel like we have a really good group of people coming, and it'll be exciting. I'm excited to get going. The only thing that we need clarification on is just to make sure that James will be rolling out our walk counts.
To the administrators and the staff as well?
Yes, and community.
I'm going to pay the community, this is one.
And then, do we have our questions firmed up with Mosi?
She's ready to go. I don't know what the last one is, but it's pretty close to what we suggested.
Okay, so we're good with questions. We'll see what she comes up with tomorrow.
That's fine. I mean, we'll do what we want.
And then we were anticipating meeting a few minutes beforehand to go over the facilitator, because as scribes, we won't have any conversation with the table. We'll just be clarifying what needs to be written on the board. But Suzanne indicated that Mosi will just go ahead and give a brief.
She'll go over that with you as scribes beforehand. She won't go over the facilitator's role beforehand. She'll just do that as we break. So there's two different people kind of performing two different functions at each table, a scribe and then a facilitator.
I thought we were both.
No,
we're not facilitators.
We're
scribe only.
Okay.
Scribe only.
All right.
So she'll cover that with you just before she begins, but then after everyone's in the group, she'll just take a minute and orient the facilitator as to his or her role.
And the table will be up. It will be up to the table to decide who the facilitator
is. Okay, I remember that.
They'll choose their facilitator.
Okay.
But they won't choose their scribe.
Right.
We don't say anything. We just sit and make notes. That's good.
Make notes.
You may put a short word and say, "Is this enough?
What you mean?
Is this what you mean?"
Other than that, we just scribe.
Okay, so and Stacy has made copies of the what counts paper, so we can hand everybody will get a paper.
What is it?
So we don't know if you need any more technical support.
All I need is a plug to plug my flash drive.
There you go. So Dave is going to be making sure that we've got adequate.
I'll have a projector and the computer, everything set up.
Okay.
And which room is it at the Copper Mill? They have so many there.
That I don't know.
All right.
But watch for signs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, any questions about the What Counts meetings for the next 2 days?
You know, and since we have some people here who are new with What Counts, I think it's important for them to realize the reason we're going to a restaurant is not because we're feeding people dinner and spending a lot of money. We want to be at a site that is neutral so that people don't feel like it's being recorded for humanity like our meetings are. Or that, you know, that someone can walk by and listen to what they say.
Well,
so
and I think it's
going to be a neutral place.
And we're going there because it's big enough to hold the group.
True, there's no way we could do it here.
And they're free.
For their room.
Their room's free, so we're just...
Where other venues are, one other venue we call just for the room is $1,500.
Yeah, so we are saving money doing it.
To rent the room.
But, you know, we could be in the gym or something like that. But this is, it's nicer, but it's also neutral. And I think that's important.
It's part of the R in tracks, resources, save that money.
Yep. So I'm excited. It will be awesome to be able to be there and to have Mosi with us and to get started on the process with our superintendent. A couple of things we have is that... we have the application that we have so I'm just going to have board members kind of look at this, you know, sometime tonight and just kind of start the initial looking at the actual application. This is from USDA, so I'll write on that, and then this is our current application that we have, so we might want to tweak the application if we want to. and that is going to go out with the, we'll decide on that for sure when we have our December 1st meeting, where we'll approve the brochure as well as have
I'm
the application.
I'm hoping to have all of that to you well before then.
So we can make the final decision on the 1st.
So that your conversation on the 1st is the shorter of the conversation than the longer of the conversation can happen prior to that. I'm hoping to have a draft for you by the end of the week.
All right. And then we have the last thing is the... the date, the next time we will be talking, we'll review the December 1st meeting will begin at 1:30. Make sure you have that on your calendar.
Say that again, December what?
December 1st at 1:30.
Okay.
And like Suzanne said, that hopefully everything by then is solidified. Any other questions about the process? We're all good?
Well.
Suzanne, anything else you need to say?
Okay.
James?
Yes, welcome.
I have some people who schedule things for me without knowing what my real schedule is. And I have to do some finagling about the three to stay till 3 o'clock. If I had to leave 10 minutes early, what would that do?
On which meeting?
The Wednesday tomorrow.
Well, we start at 1, we go from 1 to 3, and then we start from 4 to 6.
You could couple those.
I could do my part. I'm just going to, okay.
Talk to me after if we need to.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm not talking to my friends, I'm trying to reschedule with the person.
You know what, we can double you, because since tomorrow we have more scribes than we have tables, then we could just double you with another person for tomorrow, and then when you need to leave, they could just take over, if that's something that you...
That might be good, and that might be also be good for them to be the scribe. I don't know what the hearing is like there, so... Okay, so I'll be at a double table.
Is that an arrangement you'd like doubled up in each time?
Have you doubled
not
up?
Not knowing what the acoustics in
no,
the room
this
are.
This time.
Okay.
We have her doubled up. We have everybody doubled up for admin and for staff
tomorrow.
Do you want to be doubled up on community as well on Thursday? Or do you want to see how you're...
No, that will be okay because I'll know then. I don't have anything on Thursday working.
Okay,
but I also will know what the sound and everything is like.
And if we need to make adjustments, we can.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Thank you for taking time to ease me.
And then if you have to leave a few minutes early, then we're good.
Okay.
Okay, any questions, board members? No more questions? Anybody? Suzanne's good? We're all good? Okay, we're moving right along with that process. All right, now we're going to go into work session item number B, which is discussion on Explore, and we are going to have that conducted by our service, our Learning and Assessment Services Director, Daryl Guyman, as well as our Mount Logan Middle School Principal, Mike Monson. Welcome.
And again, just as kind of a preface to this, the Explore is part of the ACT suite that we do, the eighth grade test, and so we thought it would be good if we got the results back from our fall assessment, and we'd like to be able to share that with you and see how the connection is between that and the ACT that's given for 11th graders.
So do we do the plan and the Explore?
Yes.
And as just like Marshall said, Mike is here, is going to help us out here in just a minute, share some information with you. But like Marshall stated, we have this data, and great data to be able to look at. We get lots of little pieces of data throughout the year, and our belief is that let's use those pieces of data to help us to see how we can facilitate and improve student learning. So I'm just going to give some brief beginning parts to it, and then I'm going to turn the time over to Mike to talk about the data. And just like the question was asked, we do the Explore in the 8th grade, we do the plan in the 10th grade, and the ACT in the 11th grade. There's a purpose to each of those, is to help students to be a little more predictive of where they're going to be, and I'll share some of that here in just a second. the ACT Explore data, and this comes right off the ACT website. So I'm just sharing with you some information from them. ACT Explore data will enable educators, students, and families to gain early insight into a student's level of preparedness for college and career by high school graduation. Access to ACT Explore data will first provide the first step toward longitudinal student monitoring starting in the 8th grade through high school. You'll notice on this report, I'm going to show you a snapshot of what a student report looks like. It actually has a little spot there that says, based upon how you did today, the prediction that you'll do on the ACT plan will be this range of scores. And the ACT plan is given in the 10th grade is on the same 32-point scale that the ACT is. And so it's a great predictor for a student in the school to be able to look at and say, where am I? Do I want to try to improve that over the next 4 or 5 years? What can I do to get ready for that next 3 or 4 years, whatever that time period is? Identify areas of academic risk and allow for early intervention. So Mike can kind of talk to that point of the different reports that come with it. And my understanding, Mike, this data, we've got this a lot earlier this year than we have in the past. You took the assessment 6 weeks early, I think we decided, somewhere in that
time. Exactly, right at the beginning.
So we do have this data a little bit earlier that Mount Logan can then use it for that second bullet point there. Again, the third one on there, provide teachers with insight into student understanding, thereby informing instructional practices in areas needing improvement and more rigor. So we can kind of look at that, and there's specific things that come with the ACT suite of assessments. It says, hey, at the school, if you want to help improve, you've got to make sure you have certain classes in line so the kids can accomplish what we need to be ready for that ACT assessment, which lines up those college and career readiness standards. I took a snapshot of, this is just a sample, this isn't any student or district, it's right off a website. It's from Example Student, so whoever that student is at Mount Logan, Example Student. It'll show you, this is what a family and a student will see. These reports go home, Mike, how do you get them home?
We actually have always given them to our ninth grade registration to the high school counselors, and then when they do the SEOP with the families to register for low and high, then that's part of the package that they talk through. Okay. This, we've never actually had them back this early.
So we may be able to bump that up into an 8th grade time on there too.
Right.
So you can take a look and see. So if I'm a student, parents, this is what I'm going to see, and you notice a little part over there. It says your estimated ACT plan composite scoring says 15 to 18. So a student's going to be able to look at that and say, hey, if I keep going where I'm at, that's about where I'm going to go on that plan, which is then aligned with the ACT, that same score range of their 1.
And you're going to have to take remedial courses in college if that's your ACT score.
So this is one of the parts it's going to see. So you can,
yes.
There's also a part in there I found kind of interesting, and Mike can talk more to this if you like. It says your reported needs. The student can report specifically some of the things that they feel they have needs in. Some of those, for example, I need help improving my public speaking skills. I need help with my computer skills. These are students' perceptions of where they're at academically and also some other areas. And that's great, valuable information we can learn from them that puts those down. So it'll tell them where they're at, different percentiles and different stuff like that compared to in the school. So there's one page of it. There's another page that comes, it does, and I know this is really blurry, so don't try to read it too much. But this is basically your career possibilities. It helps students to start to explore a little bit and families start to explore based upon your higher areas of score. At this point, what should you be thinking about? This doesn't mean we're trying to pigeonhole and say, hey, you need to be an engineer, you need to be this. But it does help to start some of that conversation in a family to start saying, hey, what are some career possibilities I could have? And based upon what this is showing me, where could I end up? So there's just some different information that could be off of that. And then the last page of that will actually give them their questions, their answers, and they will actually get their test booklet with the questions in it. And so they can go back if they wanted to and say, hey, you know what, I missed this one. Can I go back and take a look? And they can look at all that information. See what they got right, see what they didn't, maybe learn a little bit about that, because a lot of these questions are going to correlate really closely to the ACT plan and the ACT Explore. So just another piece of information on there to take a look at.
We do have a six-year trend in Logan District with the ACT Explorer. We also have the same thing for Plan. We'll get that opportunity to look at that. We also have the same thing for ACT. We can get you access to this at another point if you'd like to have that. You can see the different pieces on there. You see the local means our district. We have the one school, Mount Logan Middle School, and then the national. And I believe for the ACT Explorer, it's out of a score of 1 to 25. And then for the Plan and ACT, it goes 1 through 32. It's like the ACT score.
You know, let me comment on that, too. I think you'll see that our trend has been above the national average until this year, but part of it is self-imposed because rather than giving this test in January or even last year we bumped it back to November and this year we bumped it back to September. So part of it, too, you have a few months less of eighth grade instruction for students that we don't really necessarily teach to this test either or teach for it, but there is a trend that you can see that there's generally been above and now slightly below on this last year.
And so why did you bump it up?
We actually bump it up for convenience for us because for one thing we're testing our students, you know, those last 6 weeks of school. We've moved our writing assessment up to February because it was just so lengthy last year that we had that option, so we thought we'd spread that out. We also have the privilege of being chosen to take the NAEP test every year, which comes up in January, and so we really aligned it with one of our half days, which has worked out well as a school to have a half day. Eighth grade just test during that half day and then goes home, and so that it was just really by convenience with the calendar and everything else, and I've always felt that. In fact, let me kind of preface it. I really am glad that we take this because it's our students' first exposure to a really difficult standardized test that they would see, and by doing that, the timing of it is maybe less important as it is them taking that test, seeing the results, and then looking at the kind of preparation that they need to do to.
There is a window that ACT says they have to do the ACT Explorer, and I think that's a fall window, and so Mount Hope chose to bump it clear at the beginning of that window.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Mike talk to you from some of the reports and some of the information they get. Now that we have this a little bit earlier in the year, you know, how has this information been used? So, Mike, you're up.
So, like I said before, we've always had the test come back just prior to March, which is about when we do registration for Logan High, and so we've put it in the students' CUME folders, and then the Logan High counselors have, you know, covered that with the parents on the scores. This year, by bumping it up, this is the earliest we've ever had it back, so it's kind of nice. And so what it's like with anything nationally, you get a plethora of reports. So I mean, we can analyze this in all kinds of different ways. I think the main thing that we would do with our ACT is make a comparison with what we think that we already know about students. So students that are really bright or doing well, or we think are doing well, this is either an indicator that, yes, indeed, you are on the right track, or you are pretty bright and we don't see that performance in class. So, you know, we have those kind of opportunities to kind of do a little comparison that way. We've given this report to each of the students along with the test booklet. That's all gone home. And then as we do our 8th grade SELP this year, it'll be part of that discussion with parents that come in. And then the teachers all have those reports in their hands. And so as they look at that report, I think one of the main things that they'll do is make a comparison by individual student if it looks like that kind of matches up with all the other data that we have. It's another piece to kind of help with that. So. But the idea of taking this test, and that is really a good thing, and it's the kids' really first exposure to doing that.
Does it have the same opt-out option for parents who wish to not have their...
Like speech?
I guess it could. It's never come up. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure why you would opt out, because it's really.
It's great practice. Yeah,
yeah, this is just a.
That letter from the Attorney General.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, I wouldn't opt out because these are expensive tests to take, and
as we all know from ACT.
Yeah, I know. Like for us personally in our family, we had our kids take the ACT from about the time that they were freshmen, just so that they would have that opportunity to practice. So this is a free gift for everybody in our district to be able to take this.
For kids with disabilities, too, it starts showing them, it's a big eye-opener for some parents when they think that, or the students think that, you know, they are much, much higher than they actually are, because the grades don't always correspond to it. But it's also that time to start thinking about what accommodations that you allow in your school or your district and that ACT does not allow.
The other piece of information that's nice for us, so with this, is because when the students register for the test, part of what they do is select their career interests. And with our Gear Up grant, one of the things that we really try to do is take kids' career interests, get them onto college campuses or other places that they can kind of pursue that. And so this just kind of tells us, are they still saying the same thing, or you know, what area, and then some of the students are reporting they don't know. And so that's where we want to come back with our Gear Up portion of it and say, okay, now what is it that you're really interested in? And what kind
There's a few really interesting reports that this is my first experience looking at the data from this. There's some really interesting reports. For example, there's one roster in here that shows these are students that reported that they do not plan to finish high school or have no post-high school educational plan. You know, that would be concerning. You know, I got a list of kids right here that we can connect with the counselor and say, hey, tell me a little bit more about that. You know, that sort of thing. We also have a list of kids here, which of our students earned an Explore composite score at or below the national 10th percentile in their national norming group. I have a list of kids here we can now connect with and say, hey, like Mike is saying.
Did you really try?
You know, what is the issue here? Are we providing these kids the services they need to? Because, you know what, if they continue, we know what happens to kids who don't finish high school. You were down, I think you went down to the, was it the AXL conference?
Yes.
There were some excellent presentations that discussed that point of what happens to you when you don't get a high school, and even now, what happens to you don't finish high school and don't get some kind of post-high school training, whatever that may be. So yeah. We have to look at these kids and say, you know, what are we doing?
Let me just back up to the students on our list that say they're not planning to finish high school, that they don't think that they will. What we did with our counseling department is go back and look and see if they are in intervention programs or what kinds of things are we doing. Because as we went through that list, it's pretty evident that there are students that we already know have kind of disengaged themselves from school. And so what we want to do is look at what kind of interventions are we putting in place to try to see if we can't help them look at things. Look at the world a little differently.
Yes. Are you getting feedback from parents?
Not yet. This is just, I mean, we've had the data for a week or two. I don't know that.
Other years have you had? Of course, you haven't gotten the feedback because you've been the high school counselor.
Yeah, it's never been something that we've been too heavily involved with because we've just kind of passed it on and, you know, given the information back. And I think our, you know, a lot of our parents, as they get those reports back, they'll look at it, and it'll be interesting to see, especially the projection for where they look at, where they'd be at for the ACT.
And what I like about it, I had one child who had almost straight A's but didn't do as well on this type of test, and so we were able to get her into some practice things where this provides that practice. I had another who scored in the top 10% in the nation, but his grades were not reflective of that.
Right.
And so as parents, I think it helps. But if you wait till ACT, it's a little late.
It's like Mike stated, we're identifying that in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. It's starting to help kids figure it out.
And so you find out kids who have test anxiety and some other things.
Right.
One other piece of information that I mentioned earlier is that each student, before they take the assessment, is given an opportunity to identify in some areas that they self-assess and say, hey, I need some help in this area. So
there's a list of that for Mount Logan that can take a look at, whether it's counselors or teachers, and they put down those. For example, 46% of the students said they wanted help in improving their public speaking skills. Only 27% said improving computer skills. You know, so interesting, some of the things that you can pull from this and say, hey, you know, we've got a group of kids who want some opportunities to practice.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there's me in this age of technology. Yeah. Where
yeah, so there's some good information here. And nice that we can get this early on in the year and see how it can be helpful to assist Mount Logan rather than getting it right at the end of the year and getting passed on to Logan High. So.
Well, could you kind of incorporate that data into your week? Where they have positive reinforced, what is that called? Is it peak?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we could grab those 46 students and have a series of instruction on.
And that was 46%. So think about that, 46% of that grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions for Mike or myself?
Are you going to continue to do this then?
This is the expectation. We are doing it.
And we've done it for how many years now?
This is our 6th year.
That's my thought.
We'll continue doing it really just based on where the calendar falls,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. But as far as the school and the logistics of it, it really works well on a half day. And so it just kind of depends on where that falls. And I think we'll
not over
try to match it up. Yeah.
And it's run exactly as the ACT. So the kids,
mm-hmm.
the kids get used to that. They
yep.
get used to the format.
We were ahead of the states on this by 4 years. So
yeah.
Now all 11th graders in the state
yeah.
take the suite. But this data has been really good data for us
yeah.
to be able to look at. And it allows us to again, one of those data points of getting students ready so that they can be prepared to be successful post high school.
Yeah, so I think as an educator and a parent, I'm appreciative that we're doing that. This is on its place.
Very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming today and to look forward to watching that in the future.
Okay.
You can put it on a video or something.
All right. Now we'll be having a discussion on SAGE, which is by Daryl Diamond as well. Daryl.
Marshall, I think you shared some information about SAGE earlier.
Yes, I have given you all of the, I gave you the packet to review on the SAGE data as it came out, both by grade level as well as by composite score. So you've had that. You've seen comparison against the state average.
As I stated earlier, we have lots of little pieces of data that really help us to pinpoint where we're at. And it will, there's sometimes where we have a lot of pieces of data, but maybe we don't do so well at using those pieces of data. We talk about sometimes over-testing. We want to be careful with that over-testing. We want to be careful how much we want to be more careful and more strategic in how we use those assessments to help us. If we're going to give them, if we're required to give them, let's use the data that we get from that. SAGE is one of those pieces of data, an important piece of data. You know, we hear a lot about it in the news and such, because that's really the one piece of data that our whole public sees. And it is one piece of data that's very helpful. But before I get into that, I wanted to come back to one of the reasons for doing this is a continuation of that conversation with professional learning communities. And so as I have this conversation with you today, I want to tie this into what we talked about, I think, a month or so ago on professional learning communities. So I'm going to come back. This is just a quick review. There's three big ideas that drive the work of that professional learning community. The first one is that the purpose of our school or district is to ensure that all students learn at high levels. Second one is we know that in order to help students to learn at high levels, that's going to require collaboration and a collective effort. It can't be one teacher, one person doing it themselves. It needs to be people working together. And in particular, at a kindergarten grade level, a fourth grade level, grade, at a sixth grade English language arts, at a seventh grade math, at an eighth, 10th grade science, the teachers at that specific course or that specific grade level, we know will
help students learn more effectively when they collaborate and work together. We know that. That's very clear. Number three, to assess our effectiveness in helping all students learn, we must focus on results, evidence of student learning, and use the results to inform and improve our professional practice and respond to students who need intervention enrichment. So much like we just talked about the Explore, you know, we have some great results there now that we can take a look at and say, how can we help these kids? What do we do with those 46% of kids who are saying, you know what, I need help with public speaking? Do we just look at that and move on, or do we look at that and do something? And so we use this data and we say, how can this help us to improve? We use data. I showed you before four questions that drive the work of a PLC. You were able to sit in on an LTM today?
Yeah.
What grade level was that?
Fifth grade.
Okay. And as they were doing their work, I want you to think about what they were doing in relation to these four questions. These four questions drive the work of a PLC. Sometimes it can get overcomplicated, but in reality, secondary math one team at Logan High, or 8th grade science at Mount Logan, or 5th grade at Woodruff Elementary, as they get together and collaborate and focus on the work of a PLC, these are the four questions that we should see evidence of and see happening in that discussion. So think about that as in relation to what you saw today. Number one, what is it we want students to learn? So we're very clear on what the target is. And you should hear and we should see discussion on what that's like. For example, I believe it was 10th grade at Logan High spent some time today looking through standards and identifying what are the essential standards that 10th graders in English need to learn before they leave this course. That conversation is powerful. They're written down. I can go pull them up and write them, but if the four of us or the 10 of us here read those, we would all have a different meaning of what that meant, unless we had some discussion on that target. So part of the work of a PLC is having discussion on what that looks like. The second thing is, how are we going to know when they have learned it? So once we've identified what that target is, how are we going to know if kids get it? What are we going to put in place? Now, this doesn't mean we give a 7-day-long assessment or a 3-hour test. In most cases, and I don't know what fifth grade, if they were looking at some data from something they were doing, but in a lot of cases, grade levels are very effective. For example, I sat in at Mount Logan Middle School with a 7th grade science teacher who did a 10-minute formative assessment on the week's prior learning. And all the students had the clickers. You've seen those in action in the classroom? All the students had the clickers. And he was able to see right then, at that moment, if kids got that week's worth of instruction. And he knew who he needed to invite in and that sort of thing. So this is question number two. And then third, once we have this data, we don't just sit and do nothing. We have to answer questions three and four. What do we do for those kids who didn't learn it? We're going to have kids who don't get it the first time. Do we stop and move on, or do we stop and do some intervention? Well, a PLC would stop and do some intervention. And they would have that conversation as a group the best they can. How are we going to do this? Because I know, as good of a teacher as, I'm not saying this about myself, I'm just saying this out loud. As good of a teacher as I am, or each one of us are, we're each going to have a kid who doesn't get it, or kids who don't get it. We have to have a conversation. And then fourth, what do we do to enrich and extend the learning of those who did learn it? So how do we help with enrichment for those kids who got it? This is the work of a PLC. And so if you look back at that fifth grade, did you see some of this in action today? That's probably what you noticed, some of these kind of questions. In particular, Lynn, can you remember one of the questions that they may not have directed it exactly like this?
Well, no, they were talking about an enrichment. Each teacher was going to send six, and one of them said, you know, I have three, I think it was three students who I don't think were quite ready. They probably shouldn't have them. So they're saying, well, you probably ought to don't send them in then. Just kind of keep them back and work on that. It was very interesting if you watched.
So you could hear that work being done.
Yeah.
So this is the work of a PLC. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to have us work together for 10, 15 minutes. I was told I have till 9 o'clock. Is that true?
Yeah, you can take as long as you want. I'm leaving at
6:15. Okay, I'll be I want us to function as a professional learning community for a moment. And we're going to look at some, there's no names attached. There's no grade levels attached. There's no school attached. But this is actual data from the SAGE data. Marshall sent it to you aggregate by grade level and by school. Mm-hmm. What we hope and what we've asked our principals to do is to go back and now look at it down to the teacher level and have discussions in a professional learning community if you can. If that's not ready to go, at least have discussions with an individual teacher about what can we celebrate from the data. If we're gonna, if something's working, we've got to keep doing it because we know it was working. Or if there is a low area, what kind of questions do we need to be asking so that we can provide support of how to help to increase student learning? So every school is kind of at a different level of that. But I want you to think for a minute before I get into this piece. If we are a professional learning community, we're a first, a fourth grader who took this assessment, and all of our data is going to be flashed up on that screen in front of the whole group by teacher. What has to be in place before we can do that? Because I can guarantee you can't just walk in to a building and set that out at a table at a third grader, a fourth grader, a tenth grader, whatever. You can't do that right away. What has to be in place before that team can act in that kind of a manner?
Teamwork and trust.
Trust.
Yeah, you have to be a team.
Teamwork. All this kind of stuff has to be in place. So as you see us doing this together, I don't want you to think that this is what happens right away. This is kind of work that can build. And in some cases, it might take a year, 2 to 3 years to get to a point where the team has that trust and those relationships
higher than mine.
To be able to do that. Okay? So there has to be a culture.
It would be higher than mine.
Huh?
I think we saw that today.
We did.
Even with new people on that team,
yeah.
There's a culture of expectation. So if the new ones came on, they knew that they were in a trusting relationship to be able to do this.
A culture has to be created school-wide, and what we hope, district-wide, that when this data gets flashed off, this isn't to say whether I'm a good or a bad teacher. This is to say, what do we need to keep doing and how can we provide support? You may have witnessed some of that today a little bit, but I witnessed many teachers. I witnessed teachers who 1 week had incredible data and that their whole team was saying to them, what did you do because we need to track, or can I come in and watch you? 2 weeks later, their data wasn't so hot because maybe it was a topic that was a little bit of a struggle for them to teach and they were the one asking the other person. And it takes that kind of trust. It's all about support, and it's not about me individually. It's about student learning. That's what has to be focused on, students learning.
Well, the other thing we observed today at Woodruff is because the entire, if I was a fourth grade teacher, the entire fourth grade is mine. I'm going to be teaching every fourth grader because of the way the power hours and other things are done. And we were told that now there's an embracing of this is our fourth grade rather than, well, my kids did this, because I may not be teaching my, you know, certain kids the science portion or the, because of the way they divide up
and do that tier two instruction. That's a huge concept. So rather than me just having 30 kids, I have 120 kids.
Right.
And we own them together.
And
in the long run, I have 700 kids.
Mm-hmm.
We all own them together. And mm-hmm. if you think about that from a district standpoint, we have 6,000 kids, and we own them together. And the kindergarten teacher owns the results of those 12th graders as much as vice versa. So that's a huge concept, but it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time. But once that culture is ingrained and you get new teachers coming in, you see how they just embrace that. That's just what we do. And that's how we act.
Well,
so
it's interesting, too, because I asked about today while we were at Woodruff, I noticed that everybody that we went to used their audio enhancement device. And so I asked Spencer after, and he said, I don't even have to train on that because that is taken care of in the PLCs because that is what we do. Which I thought was interesting that it goes beyond student data. It goes into all aspects of teaching what's best for students, but not just specifically data. I thought that was very interesting.
All right, I'm going to put the first data up here. And again, there's no factors we can tell where it comes from. But I'm going to assign 3 of you on this one to be a teacher A, teacher B, and teacher C. I'm going to go ahead and be the principal and kind of facilitate the discussion. This is just an example of what could happen at professional learning community level. And because of time, I'm going to pretend as if we're taking notes on all this, because everything we're saying in this group needs to be written down somewhere so that we can remember it and learn from it. Because again, it's not about me as a teacher. It's about us as a group helping every kid. Now, one of the things about this data, these are kids we had last year. So it's not necessarily, it won't have an impact, this discussion, on those kids. But it can and it should have it as, have something to do with the kids we have now currently. So we'll take a look at that. So, teacher A, teacher B, and teacher C. Okay? Rest of you are maybe special services, coach, and all different.
Okay, here's our special ed person over there.
And you notice how I mentioned that in these teams, we will have a special ed resource teacher in this group. We will have an ESL teacher in this group because they're a part of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be a part of this discussion because they own the results of how these kids do just as much as everybody else. So the first thing I want you to do as you look at this, let me show you what you're going to see. You see the state percentage, you see Logan City School District. This is an elementary example. So you see the Logan City School District, you do see the school, then you see the three teachers. So first of all, I want you to scan that over. And I want you to, celebrations. We're going to go celebrations first. So as we look at this data, what kind of celebrations do we have as a team?
We're above the state average.
Okay. So as a school at this grade level, we were well above the state average and above the Logan City School District average. Okay. What are the celebrations do you see?
Teacher B is doing a great job.
So celebrations, as we look at the data, as a school at this grade level, we were well above the state average. We're well above the district average. So we have celebrations there. Yeah.
The only problem is that teacher A, B, and C are all brand new teachers at this school, so the data isn't related to them at all. It's to the teachers who came before them.
So that could be a conversation, yeah. And our school sometimes is after. It could be realistic. But let's pretend as if we're all on this data. It was what we had last year.
Devil in the detail.
What are there any other celebrations? You look at that. When you look at all three teachers, what do you see, team? I'm gonna make
really
you talk
tall.
About this.
They're really tall.
We are all above the state average, aren't we?
We're all above average.
Yeah.
We're all really close to
Norman. So, team, let's say this was language arts data.
Are you the principal?
I'm the principal.
So let me ask you, what is the import of 3% higher or 4% higher? What is the magnitude of that? So between, 56% and 46%. What kind of, how big a celebration is that?
Between 56 and 42?
Mm-hmm. 46.
56, that's huge. That's a huge celebration. As a team, we ought to be jumping. Now, I'm going to take you to the next step. This is language arts. As we celebrate, now, what do we need to be thinking about then? What did we do to get that last year? Let's think about some. So we'll stop right here on that conversation, but I would encourage all of us, one at a time, maybe some reflection, to go around and think about what did we do last year to get this kind of a data? What are some of the things that we know worked? What did we do that worked? Let's write those down. Why am I going to have you write those down? Because we need to remember to keep doing them. Because if we found something that's working, we're going to keep trying it. The data, remember, part of the thing that drives the PLC, one of the big ideas, is we use our results. And so we're going to keep doing those things.
But I'm already saying, but, 20%, we're not doing, even though we're doing pretty well, we're a little bit over the majority, apparently. So we need to not only, I think we're right there, we've got to do something different because we're still not meeting. We're going to be 100% or 90%.
I can guarantee you this team will be asking that same question. They'll be saying the same thing. They'll be saying to each other, matter of fact,
we do.
I've sat in on conversations where a team says, okay, yeah, we're great, we're 10, 15 percentage points above, but we can do better than that. Okay. And so then the question moves to, okay, I will say the importance of forcing people celebrate.
Well, you know, and you have to, or you could,
yeah,
especially if you have lower than the district or the state, you still have to celebrate the kids who are proficient and how hard we work. Because what I see is that some of our schools that consistently get some of those, and yet they've worked and worked and worked. You know, it really helps when you're suddenly the Title I School of the Year and some of those things, because there's a recognition that you have a challenging school and you're improving.
As a special ed resource teacher at our school, what I would like to ask Lynn, is that if you have the two aides in your classrooms like the other teachers did, would that help your students? Because I know you have five students with IEPs in your room. If you had the same aide that like they did, would that help?
I do have two aides.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't give them to you.
So Connie moves into the question, okay, then this team starts to have some discussion. You know what, there is a little bit of variability in that 53, 56, 50. That's not a huge variability, but there's a little bit of variability. We could ask the questions. We could, and I can guarantee you Teacher C will speak up and have some conversation about what their class.
You two do.
And they might say, hey, Christy, what were you? And hopefully this team gets to know each other well enough that we can know some of that.
Well, they also know that.
We just have six of them.
So that's what I thought you wanted us to do, was kind of pretend like we were that and ask the questions.
And Teacher B also had the Dream Team class last year. There weren't as many challenging kids, or it was a smaller class.
Yeah. And sometimes that's where these discussions go, and we have to be careful. With
right, because we don't want to just rationalize.
Because pretty soon we can try to explain everything, right? And then we don't take responsibility for the data. Now, we do, no matter what, there are factors that cause differences in data. And it's important that as a team, you recognize that. I've been in a situation where we thought we had evened out classes as much as we could, and we used data to even out classes. But then all of a sudden you had kids shift, move in, move out. This class started out with 27, everybody else is at 30. They pick up all the new kids, struggling, and it does. It tips the scale just a little bit. You have to recognize that and get it out and then move on.
And then move on that we've got to get better.
Because we know, the research shows that good teaching can overcome those odds. And especially working together as a professional learning community can overcome that. I'm going to move us into one more. This one will look just a little bit different. There are five teachers in here, so let's go around this way. Let's do it. A, B, C, D, E. Okay? And then we have a special ed teacher and Jeff, your ESL teacher. Okay? And so we're going to take a look at this data.
Your special ed teacher.
All right. So here we go. We have the state average. We have the, again, this is another elementary example. Did I assign that to you? Okay.
I need some remediation.
Okay, so let's stop. Because in these conversations, you do exactly what happens a lot of times. What do we tend to want to do right away?
I think you're feeling down or something and disappointed. You're doing, you start looking inwardly. Am I really a good teacher?
We move to that. And that's why I think it's important. I don't care what data is on the screen.
Which number are you?
Whatever it is, we have to stop and we have to force to celebrate. I think that's the most important thing to start out first, in my own opinion. Rather than jump right into the, oh boy, what do we do? Anyway, so we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate.
Well,
so go ahead, look at that data. What are we seeing, team?
Better.
So as a school, we had 48% of our kids proficiency. State and the district were right above that, slightly above that. What are the celebrations?
Couldn't we say, too, it's like, I know the kids that are in Lynn's class, and for him to get 44%, he has done an excellent instructional job.
And this team will know that. Why will they know that? Because they'll have been looking at their data last year.
Right.
They'll have been looking at DIBELS data. They'll have been looking at SRI data. They'll have been looking at common formative assessments.
Right.
And they'll have recognized that there may have been some differences. They may have recognized that, again, that one teacher may have had some challenges. They'll know that as they have these conversations.
And they should say it. Yeah. That's what I mean.
And they will. They will say that. They'll stand up for their teammates.
And I might say, well, Teacher B, you got your ESL endorsement or your reading endorsement last year. I wonder if that has an effect on why you did so well.
Oh, it did.
Okay, so one of the questions would be is saying, hey, teacher B, look at that, you have 58% of your kids.
In true life, too.
And at some point in this conversation, we might come back to teacher B and say, hey, can you think of anything that may have caused this in your mind? What do you think may have caused it? And we'll come back to you and give you a moment. I would probably do the same thing with teacher D. I would do the same thing with teacher E. And I would come back to teacher B and teacher A and C and have them celebrate, too. Because keep in mind, they're going to be looking at individual student data, too. We don't have this up in front of them, but when we're going over this, they're going to have a list of individual student data. And every teacher will find something they can celebrate. There'll be some kid in there who the data was showing that throughout the year they weren't going to make it, and all of a sudden, bam, look at that, they made proficiency. Or they were this close to proficiency. So we take that time to celebrate. And it will take the time.
What helped me was learning Spanish, too.
And we'll take the time to walk through some of the causations to this. We'll take the time to, and we'll write that down. And we'll have a conversation with the team to say how to do it. Now, this is going to be the good part. We hope all this works out. We really hope. In April, when we give these assessments, we're supposed to have the data as soon as we're done with it.
Yeah. So we actually have the kids still.
Yeah. And so those teams can have this conversation right after the assessment happens. When the whole year is fresh on your mind, because sometimes, and teachers will tell you the same thing, a lot of times we're having this conversation in November, December. Still beneficial. But think about the power of that all of a sudden in April and May when these teams are able to have this conversation and have this discussion right then and set some things for next year to say, you know what? We know this worked. Write it down. We know this worked. Write it down. We know this worked. Write it down. Questions or concerns we may have. This may lead to some discussions. We might say, hey, you know what? Maybe as a leader, I start to say, you know what? Teacher A and teacher C are newer teachers. I need to provide them support. What kind of support are we giving?
What do you do if, as the principal, and you're in this group, and you have one person who sort of cops an attitude, you know, I'm at the 48%. What do you do with them?
And that will happen.
Does everybody else eat them up, or do you take care?
Are you talking about the principals?
No, the principal. Okay, I have 58%. Okay, I'm in this professional learning committee, and I have an attitude. What could you have? You know what I mean? What usually happens? What does the group do with Mrs. Attitude, you know, or Mr. Attitude?
You know, the thing I've seen, though, I think it's kind of what you said. It takes time because, like, in that that we've seen today, there was none of that whatsoever. Not one bit. In fact, one teacher that heard her data come up, he says, oh, that's my class. I was low. And the others, I heard one of them say, that doesn't matter. And
yeah.
I thought that was neat because right then, you know, hers must have been a little low. But they were there to help her immediately. And then they were just looking at everything, what can we do? It was impressive.
Well, it was interesting because they celebrated because the time they looked at the data before, it was a little worse than
mm-hmm.
it was
so
this
improved.
Time. So they celebrated because
they did.
Her data was still lower than the group, but it still has gone up from what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, being in a professional learning community myself already, what I'm asking you, though, is that that's all great, and I know that it takes time and it takes trust building and all of that, but what do you as the principal or the group do when you do have that person who they're not really, they want to make themselves out as better, they don't want to really participate as much because they have a superior attitude that they don't really need the advice that the others of you have?
Each of the groups have norms, and if they're following the norms, that will not happen. If it has to be a one-on-one later on with the principal just saying a reflection, do you understand how you came across with your team?
That's what I want to hear. Right.
Those are the type of things that a principal would be doing to bring them back in together because the principal facilitating this, and in many cases, these PLCs are not being led by the principal. They're being self-led.
But sometimes they're also led by somebody else who leads a group at school. So I'm just asking.
You know what, Connie, you're right. There may be times when that becomes an issue. As a leader, I would not confront that at that point, but I would just have a discussion with that person to try to figure out what the issue is. If it's a pattern, then yeah. And that's what we're trying to accomplish right now. We're trying to work with our administrators, our district teacher leaders, and have them work with one group in each of the building to learn about this process, because we want to establish what are the norms, what are the expectations for Logan City
right.
School District, and that every teacher in our district says, this is what we do, because we know it's best for kids.
Right.
And then we can have those kind of conversations.
Because we all know that human behavior gets in the way of the best plan.
What you're saying, though, if the process is done right, if everything's built right, will be rare. If the foundations are built, that will be rare situation. No, it was rare for me to see that.
The focus really is not on the teacher, it's on the data. It's on what each individual child is doing and what the team can do to improve that child's performance.
And you think about that. Behind that 45%, behind that 46%, there's a kid. And that's what's important in this conversation. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about there's a kid tied to that, and there's a kid that we've got to make sure is ready for their life now and in the future. So, yeah, you're right. It's about the data.
Right. There's all little names and faces
kids.
Right there.
Yeah.
But the group has to agree on that. Like you say, in the very beginning, I just have in a group, I have one person that can't get past that it's about them. So...
Well, what I thought it was just that there's a team culture that's developed, and it's the culture of the team. And there really wasn't any, but I could see an individual. They were all speaking, they were all talking, they were all focused as a team on that and coming up with solutions that everybody solved as a team. It's a team culture that's developed. And I guess eventually the lone wolves are going to be weeded out of that situation because they won't be comfortable in that kind of a culture.
Or they just don't come because they don't need it. Seriously. Okay, sorry.
Well, in my experience, what you saw today
I'm
was something
that
built over
this
a few years,
good,
right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And my experience is that we have incredible, great teachers. And as teachers see the benefit to this process, and that it's not about, nobody's attacking me individually.
Right.
Even though there's times when my data, maybe my percentage of kids who got there, if they're not, if you do that process right, I believe that we'll all see the benefit of doing this and see how important it is to a team. And ultimately, it's about kids.
It is.
And that those teachers who may possibly struggle with that, they'll see the benefit to this and they'll be one of the greatest supporters of this process. I have an experience with that with the team. And I was a little worried about the team for what you were just mentioning about a minute ago. And they were a little further behind maybe than the team you saw today.
Right.
But every one of them came on board. And they did it. And it was a great experience for them.
So I'll just start talking to you personally later.
Okay. But anyway, my purpose for doing this today is to give you just kind of a feel, and we had to do it kind of playing around a little bit. But what we hope are the conversations that can happen at each school, at each level with this data. And again, the expectation is probably isn't all going to be happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to be built by a culture. And that's where we're heading down this road of PLCs, is so that we can have these kind of conversations and use this data. We've got some valuable data here that we can use. And so just a little bit of an opportunity to take a look at.
You know, the one thing that I noticed today, it was like every one of those teachers were concerned for all of that age group kids. They weren't worried about my own little group and this is who I got. It was all the kids belong to every teacher.
And that's
how I
feel. That's good.
It was really great.
Do you remember the days when students that were had a disability, they didn't belong to everybody? It's your kids. And, I see those days are going by the wayside, too. It's Yeah.
And one of the thoughts I had, what you were talking about, Connie, is that teacher who may have that possibility of doing what you were talking about, all of a sudden when they are able to share their talents and what they get great results, but think about that, they're able to share that with a newer teacher, they're able to share that and help that teacher. That teacher sees the benefits of that and feels that,
yeah,
because they get to be an opportunity assistant. And you think about that, four or five minds working together to help. You narrow it down. I've got five kids who didn't get the concept. I don't know what to do with them, but I've got four people helping me to come up with ideas. Man, you ask those teachers, and they'll tell you, I love that because I don't feel like I'm on my own. I have this group of people helping me as I look at that data. So
the question I have when it comes to SAGE, though, is what we didn't have overall, our results weren't stellar. I mean, there's need for improvement.
Yeah.
So what was the reaction amongst staff members who got that data? Is it driving them to self-reflect and increase participation in PLCs? Are they brushing under the rug? I mean, how do we move forward with...
Are they down because of all the hard work they do and it's
and
not reflecting?
What?
You know, I don't have all the information to ask. I have spoken to a few principals to ask how do those conversations go. And there is that initial kind of thing.
And when the school grades come out soon, it's going to be again.
But my opinion is, in talking to those same principals, that if the process was done right, that it ended up being a healthy conversation and a beneficial conversation, because it's like, you know what, yeah, we could have done better. We have some celebrations here. We have some areas of questions and concerns. We can do better. And let's talk about what we need to do better. And then it's, you know what, let's day to day, let's make sure we know what we're doing, we know what our target is, we know how to measure it, let's work together to help kids get there.
Well,
it can be used as a, you know, a knockdown, or it can be used as a driving force to keep moving forward.
Well, it's also, we don't usually do questions.
This is the first time we've ever seen that.
Yeah.
First time we've ever seen
that.
There's nothing
to get my students to be able to understand the concept better than different than I've been teaching before. And yes, maybe I'm teaching a right way to get to that result, but that's because I didn't know how I was supposed to.
One of the things that is an outgrowth of the data, and it started actually after we took the tests last spring, is there is a concerted effort at our schools to look at questioning skills. That we have to get past the recall, and we have to get to analysis, synthesis, and evaluation questions.
Because that's what kids are now.
Because the questions that are asked here are at a much higher level and much more sophisticated level than we've done in the past. And if that's modeled in the classroom on a consistent basis, again, that will be an added benefit for students as they are getting ready for and preparing for the assessments in April. The data also that's on the stage, and this is the kind of the next step of data, is though they're looking at data as it was from last year, there is also a way to regroup the data for the students that are in your classroom this year. You know, obviously a third grade teacher doesn't have that luxury, but the fourth and the fifth do have that luxury. So it allows for the teacher to see where the potential gaps are within their class this year, so that they have, a foundation to be able to move them up. And as a group of teachers, be they all new, they still then can utilize this data and make it real to them.
Right.
That is an exciting part. The challenge has been secondary, the way that they have developed that. Every teacher who has a sixth grader or seventh or an eighth has a set of scores, which is good. But it also is hard to tease out just those that are language arts, math, and science teachers. But the data there is allowing them, if they take that option, for a social studies teacher to say, these are where my kids are in these language arts areas. That's
okay. Interesting conversation. Just a quick little story on that. It was like a Friday with Shane and one of his math teachers. And we did that. We sorted the data by who's in their class this year, just one class. And how they did last year. And then within that, we sorted it by the standard. One of the standards was geometry. So we sorted it by geometry. And this teacher looked at us and said, this is going to be awesome. We're starting geometry on Monday. And I know
here where
these four kids who are at the lowest level on geometry, I know right away who I need to watch and who doesn't have the background skills for that. And so right away, that data, just in a little conversation, started to have a little, even though it was last year's, you know, it started to have impact on this year. So
next steps for SAGE is that, obviously, this is proficiency. That we're, you know, and the levels of proficiency were artificial in some respects because it's the first time when they set the bar. That will be re-looked and reviewed again this next spring after the assessments to determine whether or not the bars need to stay where they are or they need to be moved. In December, we will have school grading, which is by law required by the state legislature. That has a growth measure that has to be part of it. What the state is doing for the growth measure is, how do you have a growth measure when we have a brand new test first year?
Yeah.
A way, not the only way, but a way of doing it is, the if you remember the student growth percentile, the SGP, it was based upon a student had a score, and it was based upon whenever they started taking a math test, be it third grade, and they're now fifth graders, they go back to that cohort that was in third grade who had the same score that they did. And since third grade, they've been compared, that child has been compared with that same cohort for fourth grade, and now with what they'll do with fifth grade is look at the SAGE scores. Where did this child go with all the other kids on SAGE? And there will be a placement. They'll be able to say he was 50th out of 100. So he had a place his fourth year under the old CRTs. So they're going to use that as the measure for growth. So if he was 45th last year and now he's 50th, he's had a growth of 5%. So they will have a statistical growth. What we don't have, though, is the real growth. Real growth is developed and built into the math and the language arts tests. You look, remember, as I showed you, that every year it's kind of stair steps up from third grade all the way through secondary math 3 and language arts 3 all the way through language arts 11. But there is an incremental. So the number they get as a third grader will kind of follow. And each year that should be going up and being within the range, because every year proficiency as well as expectations will increase until they end at 11. So within the test itself will be a growth measure, but that won't be available until we take the test a second year. Science will not be measured on growth because they made a determination that there was not a consistency of, because you're going back between biological and physical.
So it doesn't build on.
And it's not really building on. So there won't be a growth measure on science. That is a set score between a one number and another number. And that's the same in all grade levels. So this year in December there will be the grading, and that as they grade, the legislature, as they met with leadership with the State Board of Education, has agreed that the overall percentages of what we had last year in the numbers of A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's will be consistent this next year. It will be a different group, but if there were 12% A's, there will be 12% A's this year under the new data. And they will statistically work with what they have to get to that same basic amount. So we'll still have the same percentage of A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's. The reason they had to do that is because overall, one of the biggest components of that is proficiency. And if proficiency goes down by 30%, that would have put everybody, if they had just used exactly the same rules as last year, everybody would be in a D or an F setting. So it wasn't going to be a fair measure. Also coming out of December will be the governor's report card, which will show the data that you're seeing here in SAGE, proficiency level. It will show a linkage. There will be a linkage to the grade. But but there's also other data they'll look at. They'll look at graduation rates. They're going to look at K-3 reading rates for elementary. They will look at attendance rates They will look at the K-8 level, so the middle school and elementary. There will be six or seven components, and then there's an opportunity for the school to have basically kind of talk about their school at the bottom. And so that will be coming up. That has been designed by Tammy Piper, and we appreciate the work that she's put into that. It was the State Board of Education voted unanimously to accept that as a vehicle for school information. It doesn't have grade levels on it, but it has descriptions in all of these specific areas. It's tied to the Prosperity 2020 goals and how we are getting there. So that'll be an exciting new piece of data that we've not had in that format before. So all of that will be coming out mid-December.
Will there be an explanation to parents about what all of it means?
Yes. We are also, just so you know, we are we have copied and are sending out all of the scores to our parents. The high school, I believe, is holding onto this because they have parent-teacher conferences in December and are going to be utilizing that on parent-teacher conference night for the math, language arts, and science teachers. Middle school, John, I don't know what... Have you guys had that discussion on how you're sending it out?
I'm on for it. Nobody talks to me about that stuff.
Okay. So I'm not sure. Middle school, we're trying to get it out, and we're also there inviting parents to come in and sit down at the school level to go over the data. We are sending out the scores, which is anywhere between one side. The math and the language arts are two-sided. The science actually can get up to 3 pages long. So all of that data per child and an explanation process. So all of that is being done. They're also looking at using some of their literacy nights and others, but they will have time for parents to ask questions of their teachers as to what the scores mean. Unfortunately for us, we had our parent-teacher conferences the week before or 2 weeks before it was allowed. We were allowed to because it was embargoed. The test scores were embargoed during that time.
What about, though, the grading of schools, the A's?
That will also, we don't know what that's going to look like, how that's going to be. As soon as that is in, we will again be getting that material out to our parents and opportunities for them to see. Okay. The challenge is, and the state, we've asked the state, the superintendents, that parents have the ability to go into the SAGE database with a password to look at their own kids' things. So it could be all electronic. At this point, they're saying that they do not have the capacity to do that. So that we don't know what that means if we're going to continue to have to run copies off every single year, which in this day of electronics seems to be a very archaic way of doing it. But that's what we have.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Daryl, Alexander, yes, and Marshall for that discussion. That's very fascinating, and we are excited, and we know that as we move forward with SAGE, that it's only going to get better. All right.
So much better than, you know, works well with others.
That's right. All right. Last thing on our agenda today is just to discuss our master board's progress. That information needs to be turned into USBA shortly, so we just want to make sure everyone's progressing.
Can we go over the ones that are things that we've done differently that aren't on there?
Yes.
Because, you know, we've done our recognition of...
Does everybody have...
Hold on.
...capability of logging
in? And they have S. Hunter on here, and you haven't done anything. Did you know you're on here?
I did.
To try to see people's stuff. Yeah. but... Jeff's not on here.
What?
You're not.
He was.
You don't have to do anything, Jeff.
Well, according to mine, he's not.
His name was there the other day.
Well, this, you know, it's a moving target. You never know whether it's going
to
be accurate or not.
I got it on my bookmark thing.
All right, so if you, according to what I have on mine, I think that if we go under community, community engagement and collaborative relationships. That's where I was anticipating that we would put in our.
We just type in power up, right?
Yeah. Under training, you have to go at the top under training.
I just gave you, get the site. That's enough.
Go under training, usba.cc.
Thank you.
Would that work for everybody?
Say that again.
Under community engagement and collaborative relationships. Does that work if we add the cards? Is everyone okay about that?
Oh, they're writing the cards?
Yeah. So we're just going to type that under other and check it off. Under community engagement and collaborative.
Okay. Still don't have it.
I was in and went back, and now it's kicking me out, so. And then we will have done our what counts activity this week.
And we've done social, you know, when you look at the social media as a district, we've been getting out and doing that. We've got Parent Link, which you'll approve.
Yes, and we've done the two, hopefully everyone has done the two community council meetings under that same community engagement and collaborative relationships. So we'll have done the What Counts event. We'll have done the attend at least two school community councils. We hope everyone's done that. And then the social media. And then other will be the thank you cards.
And this is all under community.
Yes.
I used to be able to just
is everyone good about that?
Thank you cards to
staff. And I would hope that we can continue working on that as well.
Okay, then the only area I have still is that foundation
of effective governance. So on that one, I thought that since we've had not a lot of stellar policies, business policies, I kind of felt like that we could count that we've been working on our business policies as another option, if you all agreed on that.
Well, and on mine, I put down a personal goal that I would update 5 policies into the new format, and I have done that. We, you know, so, and you're counting this, the board, superintendent, business administrator evaluations, because we've done, did you also count that one?
Do we feel like we could count that one?
Okay, well, because one time you said, because of how we reevaluated positions and a few other things, that you felt that one was complete.
You have.
So
that's kind of what I thought.
Okay, then, and then we were told that when, part of you don't know this, but we actually, at USBA's meeting, we did a presentation on board governance, on best practices. Marshall did it. He did very well. But that would be which one? Because we didn't create a video, but we did do share on board governance.
We're looking under foundations of effective governance.
What you've done for the superintendent search, I think that is easy under the creator implementable policy and timeline for evaluation. Even though it's a little bit skewed, you have, and that combined with the what counts, you really have done that.
So I am now 94% complete. I guess I have some reading I need to do.
And so on the other one, under foundations of effective governance, could we add the business policies to that? Would everyone still okay about that?
It would be good if we all were on there right now.
Sensitive.
And I can't remember how many of these things we have to read before it counts. I'm 94% of those with all of my advocacy done.
Establish a policy, in policy a timeline for your bylaws, code of ethics, and procedures. We have.
Yeah. We're doing, you're going to do the second one for the committee, yeah? And then you did create a kind of a policy timeline for evaluation. And then other, you're going to put this in.
Put me where you are. Because I know I'm pretty much close to ready on this if we do all those things, because I have 75 already. So, I don't know where the next one is.
Well, mine says I'm only 94% complete, so I must have a couple, something to read or something left.
So what about, you know, if you're like that, is like I just got my certification in CPR and first aid as first responder, so does that count for something?
Only if you say it's another.
If
you determine that's one of your others.
Well, I think it would be nice for the men in this group to know that if they were to pass out on the floor, I could look over them and say, you know, I could save you.
So.
And none of you thought that was funny.
Now that you've clarified it, I
so
it's called Be Nice.
Community engagement, collaborative relationships. You guys have those opportunities.
Community engagement and collaborative relationships. You've got
conducting the what counts, which is what you're doing. I mean,
this week,
attending the two community council, and
I've only attended one.
And then the use of social media. We did
that, and then the thank you notes. That
so what did you do with the social media?
Yeah.
What did we do?
We increased it.
The parent link. I mean, they have. Voted to spend funds for that, and that will allow, as well as the encouragement of schools.
I also signed up for Twitter and have been doing that, as well as some Facebook posts, because of some of my friends who encouraged me to do that. Right. One over there who smiles because I mess it up.
Always worry about saying a lot on Twitter.
I have yet to post, but I'm signed up again, please.
You know what, the other one I really felt like that actually I would probably choose to check off versus this use of social media is to develop the process or event to increase district support from local targeted groups such as, and
but what have we what have we done
with our work with the city council with the poverty. I mean, I really think that's one of
that
our biggest
was.
Things we've ever done is to finally get the city council to wake up and realize that.
You know what, you're right, that was a really good one.
So I would say that we could check that one easily off.
And be power certified.
Yeah.
In which?
That's community engagement and collaborative relationships.
Right.
And how do I get
that? Under develop a process or event to increase district.
Okay, so I can't go back.
When did you do that?
When we had
that
meeting
with
the
city
council. And talked about the demographics and the impact with housing.
And they finally had their aha moment, and they're like, whoa!
So you're doing that under your Create an Education Coalition? Or are you doing it on the develop a process or event to increase district support? Which one did you put it on?
I put it under
the top one or that one?
Develop a process.
Develop a process or event to increase district support from local targeted groups.
This is right here. I didn't want that.
Which I think is, they were a local targeted group, and we definitely did have an impact on them.
Yep. And it took us how many months to try to get that meeting scheduled, too. Okay, so I'm now overqualified in all of my areas. I'm an overachiever, but I guess
have you
I
passed
need
your tests?
I passed all my tests at 100%, so I must need to read something.
I'm at 100%.
Well, I'm not, so I don't know why.
Well, that means you haven't checked on the number of success.
Oh, I'll show you mine right now. I'm
look at the progress. No, you're at 100%.
No, I'm not. I'm at 94 complete.
So notice I'm 4 of 4, 3 of 3, 5 of 3, 4 of 3, and 3 of 3. And I'm at 94%.
Okay. That's weird.
Your screens are not showing the same thing.
94%.
Right.
But I'm on a computer versus a.
Let's see. So we.
Go back. And get rid of it. So I can.
She says hers is complete. You're completed.
What?
She has.
Okay. What? So do I need to do some reading or something?
Look at your. Go down to your points. See what you.
Okay.
Certification power ups. She's got.
Down there, I'm.
You've got a perfect.
But see, I'm
down.
Still.
Keep going down. You only have four. No, keep right in that. Just right there. She has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Christy,
yeah.
Under evaluation of effective governance, did you say?
And then I have to be on the reading.
So it must be the reading, so I'll go through and update my reading. Because that's everything else I'm overqualified.
Formation of business policies.
And I have one of these books that I wanted to read that I'm now listening to on Audible.
Oh, okay. So now what you got to do is get
I have two webinars.
63%.
I have two
webinars.
And I can
show you. You have
the foundation of effective governance.
It's
I think we need to
reading.
Do some reading.
Reading. You
we
have to
do more reading.
Have at least three or four readings done in order to.
Well, then I put my reading in another category.
No, reading is you just have to go and do it, and once you've said yes, done it, then it adds to the points. So it's like you can get to 94%, but that last 6%.
Well, we have to go to this recommended reading. Or
recommended reading and click them.
And we do have some of these books available for people, too.
And some of them
are full books, and some are just...
Christy, would it be okay if staff... Please?
Yes, we all should.
All right. Sorry. All right, we are going to continue working on our master progress. I know our master board's progress if we have any further questions. But for this moment, we are going to adjourn this board meeting. It's now 6:34. And as far as calendaring items, the next time we meet is tomorrow at 12:30. See you then.
Are you sure it's not 10:30 like normal?
Well, we have a board meeting on the 18th.
We have a board meeting
next Tuesday. This is that's a change. We have one right in a row, so.
Next
because
Tuesday.
Of Halloween,
next Tuesday.
Of Thanksgiving.
What did you say?
Halloween. Thanksgiving.
I
remember when you were driving over in the.
So, what is next Tuesday's date?
That 18th.
We had to show board meetings since we have